A conservative CNN anchor said President Trump's wall is like porn to certain people, quote, who almost seem to have a sexual fetish for a cement wall, unquote. Which explains why Mike Pence swears he's never once looked at a wall.
Chris Brown is back in the U.S. after being released from police custody in Paris. I think one thing all Americans can agree on is that we need to build a wall around Chris Brown.
Hugh Hefner's widow, Crystal Harris, sold the home he left her for $5 million. It features 5 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, and 1 incredibly horny ghost.
There will be a shortage this year of Sweethearts Valentine's candy that say little messages like, be mine or marry me. But not to worry, the candies will be back in 2020 with messages like, you up?
A 58-year-old Minnesota man was arrested after his ailing 69-year-old wife died as part of a meth-fueled death party involving hours of sex and heavy metal music after she told him she wanted to die at home instead of at a care facility. Or, you know, you could have just settled for the, so I hear you've given up, bear from the Vermont Teddy Bear Company.
Billionaire hedge fund manager Ken Griffin has bought the most expensive home ever sold in the United States. So see, with a little hard work and elbow grease, you too can become an investor to screw over millions of Americans.
And finally, Republican political consultant Roger Stone was arrested in the early morning hour on Friday, and it was covered by CNN, who conveniently happened to be in the area. Now, if you think that Roger Stone would be embarrassed by that coverage, you probably haven't seen the elaborate swinger solicitation seeking, quote, similar couples or exceptional, muscular, well-hung single men, unquote. It's not really a joke there. That's a fact. The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I mean, I was interested in the personal ad, but then it said well-hung, so I had to ignore it. Welcome to the Trump Report. I'm Christian Bott, joined by Chelsea Galicia.
Hello there.
And Tamara Brown.
Hi.
And believe it or not, Scott Moore is in Dubai, so apparently he couldn't make it back for us. But I don't know. I'm sure he's out there perpetuating fake news. In
Christian,
some way
when I'm not on the panel, do you keep a tally of where I am? No, and it's what's usually going on like, with me. And...
Santa was sick. She had to pull a double, you know, something like that. We don't usually, Scott Moore, I was just talking about it. It's like if he's not here, he's in Cuba or Alaska. Now he's in Dubai.
He's a man of the people.
If I'm not here, I'm, you know, sick in bed in Burbank, you know. But good for Scott Moore. He won't be here next week either. That's how important he is. Anyway, but we're here, and there's so much to talk about. When we were talking last week, I was convinced that, the shutdown might have just never ended. I just thought it was going to go on and on and on. Kind of like that Lamb Chop song that'll never end. And I was wrong because I'll admit I was very surprised that, one, it happened for me, it seems, quickly, obviously, for 800,000 federal employees and people who require their services. Probably felt like a long time. I'm also surprised at just how bad President Trump came out of the whole thing. I figured he wasn't going to give up because he didn't want to look bad. Chelsea, were you surprised that it ended when it did? And do you think it's safe to say that Nancy Pelosi delivered an ass-whooping of the president?
Okay, so thanks for the two-part question.
We got a sound effect?
But, so on the first one, am I surprised?
That it ended is, you know.
Yeah, because 3 days before on the show last week, I was just saying the only way this is going to end is Trump is going to blame another agency for saying, oh, they don't need the wall anymore or something like that.
Sure.
That was the only way that this was going to end. And that echoed exactly what I had said the week before that. So that just was like super egg on my own face. I did not see it.
Yeah, you're
going
the one
down.
That's embarrassed.
Yeah. No, that's really the takeaway from the shutdown. Chelsea should be really embarrassed.
I mean, I just want to be like out of the trying to guess what's going to happen in the future game because I just plain suck at it. So, I was really shocked. But something else that surprises me is how much credit Nancy Pelosi is getting for it. And maybe I'm missing something. And yes, she is the leader now. And maybe she held everyone together to not budge and therefore the president budged. Or what is it that makes her the hero of this situation? Because I don't know if I see it.
I don't know that it's Chuck Schumer. Look, she would get the blame if Democrats gave in, and even if, say, you know, they held some kind of vote. And you know, I think that the reason why she still is where she is I think that she's able to have the clout of saying, like, look, it's going to be tough. We're not going to be very popular. We're actually not going to be as unpopular as President Trump. Just hang in there. We can't give him this wall. Especially because, you know, the shutdown started before this new Congress even started. And you don't want the first thing you do to be like, oh, yeah, but you can have the wall. The thing mm-hmm. we said you'd absolutely under no circumstances could have. Go ahead and have it. Here's, you know, I mean, they offered a couple billion dollars. So I don't know. That's my thought. Tamara, do you think that Pelosi's getting too much credit?
I'm not sure. That's a good point, Chelsea. Maybe you're right. And like the Republicans who were against it should be getting more credit, but I don't think they want that sort of credit. I don't know.
I'm not sure the credit game is really that fruitful.
Yeah.
Like, you make Nancy Pelosi way too much of a hero. I get it. That no, that was a powerful no, and standing behind a no and sticking with it is pretty powerful, but that took everybody to stay with the no.
I would imagine, just, you know, again, hypothetical here, imagine that there was a government shutdown, President Obama, over healthcare. Do you think Paul Ryan could have ridden it out for 35 days or whatever it was? You know, and I mean, maybe, because if there was somebody in his ear that he was afraid of, he absolutely would. But I think that
Ann Coulter would have been in his ear.
Well, Ann Coulter probably would have been in his ear. And, you know, Ann Coulter is apparently off the Trump train for the moment, much to the chagrin of Newt Gingrich. Which just shows how, you know, for Republicans, it's kind of still the mid-90s, because you were still talking about Newt Gingrich and Ann Coulter and a lot of the same people. But anyway, I think that, obviously, like I said before, there'd be a lot of blame at Pelosi if the Senate was
so
to blame.
So you might as well give her
So give her some credit, for sure. For
okay,
but
sure.
The fact that, you know, look, and then in the Senate, you did have kind of a block of Republicans that were like, yeah, you know, if you're not going to do the wall, we can't help you. You know, I was surprised that they hung in as long as they did either. That's why I thought this was going to last longer. This tells me just how much he really wanted to do the State of the Union address. You know, he was just like, okay, I need it. All right, just give it to me next week. And
I know I'm about to pose a question, and I know what Christian's answer is going to be, but I want to know who was able to bend Trump's ear to get him to understand that you have to reopen the government. You have to.
Well, not to put you on the spot, but say that it was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. What would that have sounded like? How would she have tried to convince
him? He doesn't listen to her. Look, all I'm telling you is the American people need to go back to work. I would assume you would say that it was Ivanka that convinced him.
No, I do think that she probably would have been a voice in his ear, but I do think of this significance, I think that there were multiple people, and it was probably like almost everyone was like, no, you need to figure out a way around this. And probably the last week was spent, all right, I'm going to give in on this, but how do we craft my explanation where I try to, you know, have maybe just a little bit of egg on my face, not an entire McMuffin on my face, which probably happens, I don't know, every day, if I had to guess. But I think that that's really what a lot of the time was spent, because he started to sound a little bit more, you know, when he wasn't defiantly delivering a State of the Union address from the wall and maybe, or, you know, from where he wants the wall to be, or, you know, just from a wall. Maybe he would have gone to China and done it from the Great Wall, you know, because he'd be like, look at this wall. Can you believe it? You know, but I think that that's my thinking, is that it was, you know, if he listens to Ivanka and Jared, you know, and maybe even Eric Trump and Don Jr. I don't know who he would listen to apart from the people that I just said, because you get the impression that it isn't many people. But same question to you, Chelsea. Who do you think is capable of getting this president to back down on you know, when he was so dug in on this?
I really have actually no flippin'
idea. Roger Stone?
No,
no, probably not.
He's a big border guy. I mean, this Roger Stone indictment made me actually rewatch Netflix's documentary on him, Get Me Roger Stone. I was just like, again, shocked at just who this character is.
And we will definitely talk about him next. So there were there's a little bit of feedback in the chat. Caroline Spencer, or probably just Carolyn Spencer. I wasn't surprised that the shutdown ended, but she thought that he would give up. He just thought that Congress would have had to make it happen, and he says, yes, Nancy Pelosi did kick his ass. So she's getting
There's the definitive answer. Yeah. There we go. Thank you, Caroline.
That's why we go to the chat.
But do we think that it cost the American people $11 billion?
11, I heard 8, but that we'll get it all back. You know what?
I bet that it's probably 11 now, and then when they do the last of the bean counting, it'll be like 15.
Well, because
billion.
That's what the, what is it, the CFO?
The CBO.
CBO said that it was. But then the statement from the White House today was that there's no way to possibly determine what it could have cost. I mean, obviously, they're going to refute that. But how ironic that the cost of the shutdown is more expensive than what he was asking.
He could have gotten two walls.
Yeah.
At least reasonably two walls.
Or a Game of Thrones twice as high, massive wall.
Wait a minute. Now you're onto something. A very biased comment from R. Scott Brown. Call it what you want. Pelosi didn't fold to Trump's stupid idea, much like his administration has to do when he claims something and they are tasked with proving or defending it. So there seems to be a very one-sided slant in here. And Storchard resident, I know that you're watching, or at least you were watching at the beginning of the show. I want to know how you feel about the fact that he did reopen the government, or allow the government to be reopened without getting his wall, because I do know how important that is. Storage Yard resident, by the way, who also wanted to make sure, tying into our next topic, that we know that there is a legal defense fund for Roger Stone. So thank you for making sure I knew that.
We've all contributed to it.
Yes.
Don't worry.
I, you know, look, I'm more looking out for Jerome Corsi, just because he was always a guest on the radio show I did, because he was just the most fascinating crackpot. And kind of a delightful eccentric. He's a friend of Roger Stone's, and I think that that's probably what led to the actual arrest, is Jerome Corsi's testimony of, like, I ain't going to jail. But anyway, so here's where we're at with this now. We have 3 weeks from when the government reopened to actually make some kind of deal, or Trump is going to shut it down again. That's my question. I don't think he would do it in 3 weeks' time, but 5-6 weeks, if he's really not happy, I think that he is willing to do it, but he really, I think he doesn't, he knows that he got the blame for, the majority of the blame for that. So my question to you first, Tamara, how long do you think President Trump can go without getting the same deal that he wanted before he's like, all right, shut it down again?
Good question. Well,
that's a first.
I guess it depends. You know what? It depends on his polling numbers.
It's true.
He was declining. His base was declining a little bit. Even though he tweeted that he's up 19% with Hispanics. He loves to throw out how he's doing with minorities.
Do they prefer to not be called Hispanics, by the way, or am I wrong about that? I'm sorry to just look right at you, Chelsea, but is that not the preferred terminology?
By some, it's offensive from Spanish descendants.
Yeah, so it's
not
sort of like Oriental, you know? I mean, obviously not for the same reason, because that's just, but geographically it's incorrect, you know? So, of course, he would be, you know,
behind the times
when
on the...
when he's like, look at how inviting I am to.
Well, whenever he, the thing of it is like when he the speech. The speech that he gave on January 6th or 7th, was it? And he talked about how illegal immigration hurts jobs for minorities. And it's every time he mentions minorities, I'm getting off topic here.
No, but that's all right.
I feel like every time he mentions minorities, it just shows what a gross misunderstanding he has about why minorities are not supporting him. He thinks that as long as he claims that, you know, he's creating jobs for African Americans and Latinos, that that's a win, but he doesn't realize that literally every other thing he does is completely disparaging and, you know, promoting division and hate and white supremacy. Like, he's not aware that he is completely promoting white supremacy. But anyway, getting off topic there. You were saying how long until he would shut it down again? I think it depends on once he if his numbers go up again and he's feeling a little more confident, then he's happy to boom. He's happy, like he said, he's happy to shut the government down. He'll be happy to do it in a heartbeat as soon as he's got a little bit higher numbers again, which he will probably.
Right. I mean, after, the State of the Union address was originally scheduled for tonight, we only have to wait one extra week. So you have seven more shopping days to pick out your hashtag SOTU outfits. So everybody get ready for that. But I think if that goes well, then there could certainly be – he could be a little emboldened by some new polling. I do think – speaking of the fact that the State of the Union will be delivered next week, you know, after the government was shut down for more than a month, I do think that when he says the State of the Union is good, he should use the air quotes and just be like, it's good, or maybe like, you know, good-ish. You know, I don't know that he should actually say it's good, but I don't know.
He's not. He's going to say it's tremendous, it's fantastic.
That's a great
it's
point.
It's glorious. It's Bigly. The most, it's the strongest.
It's the hugest, mm-hmm. It's the hugest union that anybody has ever seen, which would be a good transition to Roger Stone, but unfortunately that's not where we're going just yet. So the interesting thing is, well, not even interesting, it's not even remotely surprising, you know, I alluded to it, that there is obviously kind of a visceral reaction, as Tamara mentioned, from the base, which is like, we want this wall. And I know how important the wall is as a Storage Yard resident. That's why I asked him to chime in. But I think he's so engrossed in the show that he's not commenting in the moment. But that's all right. We hope to hear from you. If not during this show, sometime afterwards you can leave a comment. And any of you can leave a comment. And I would say that, you know, the most the one who apparently gets the most attention is the fact that, you know, Ann Coulter was like disgusted by the fact that, you know, he gave in without a wall. And, you know, in true Ann Coulter fashion, she managed to say congratulations that George Herbert Walker Bush is not the wimpiest president we had anymore, which was an allegation against him when he was running in 1988. So way to stick with the times. And also way to, you know, I think he... did he die like not even 2 months ago? So, you know, I don't think Ann Coulter really thinks before she does that. She's in the Ann Coulter brand. And
I'm sorry. Is Ann Coulter above dancing on the grave of a recently deceased person?
No, I mean, she said, you know, it's funny. You can say all the things you want.
Does she have some sort of etiquette?
I mean, for her, probably. I don't know what it is. You know, there's something. There has to be a line for her. I just don't know what it is. If there is a line, it's like, yeah, but you know, if you cross that line, you're going to sell 2,000 more books. Then she'll probably cross that line, you know. But, you know, who amongst us with a lucrative multi-million dollar book deal wouldn't? So, I don't know.
I could say myself.
Well, one day, right? Or how's the book coming along?
It's in the design.
Okay.
Series of five.
The series of five?
Yes.
Is it like if Harry Potter was like an institution for wizards who like did finance or something? Am I giving you ideas?
It will turn you into your own finance wizard.
She just sold a book right there. That's amazing. Anyway, so again, not surprising that it's not being well received, but he had to take that into consideration, wouldn't you say, Chelsea, that he had to know that this wasn't going to be a popular stance when he spent weeks like, I'm not backing down without my wall, except for the fact that I'm now backing down without my wall.
I really think, like, this is my armchair psychologist opportunity right here, but I really think this goes back to a childhood and a whole life of never hearing no. Probably didn't get what he really wanted, which was, like, affirmation, validation, attention, and love. So he was just, like, given things. He would throw tantrums until he got them. And I know that, you know, Schumer said you can't, you know, govern by tantrum. And that was like that was a nice dig. But I think that that's actually accurate. I don't even think that was hyperbole. So I just don't think that he is used to sticking to his guns and not getting his way or having the situation turn out where he can say that he got his way. This was the first situation that I think he backed himself into a corner where there was no way to spin this, because if there was a way, he certainly would have. Mm-hmm. I think he realized, wow, this is, I'm in over my head. And that promise that I made of I alone can fix this, he may now be realizing that that's just not the way the government works. No single person can fix or hopefully break anything in our government. Well, I guess he can break. So shoot, I already have to backtrack on that.
Everything can break, but...
But that it's up to one person. And I hope that it sinks into not even just Trump's base, but all of our minds that we are already obsessed with who might be the next president. And yes, that person is important, but they're one person and they cannot fix everything. I can go down a whole long tangent on that, but I just think I'll stop there.
Could that one person, maybe has that one person, could that one person break everything? If the president can't fix everything, but can they single-handedly break everything?
I think we're gonna find out in the postmortem of his presidency. I'm sure.
You mean in 2024?
Yeah,
right?
You know, some agencies are broken down. They're underfunded, sure. Understaffed. You know, it's possible that it will break or severely harm some of these agencies. I guess only time will tell.
Tamara, when he basically conceded on the wall standoff, he started referring about, we'll get it, and there's like quotes around it, a smart wall. So now he's kind of changing what the narrative is about the wall. So
Alexa, keep out immigrants. That's what he means.
That's exactly what he means. Which someone watching right now like probably has the show on, and their Alexa is like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But good for Alexa for taking a stand. What if you had to guess what the narrative is going to be over, you know, like, well, a week from now, he's got to talk about the fact that he lost this standoff and, you know, cost us billions of dollars and, you know, almost a million people their paychecks. Do you think that he's going to he has some elaborate smart wall, or maybe like, you know, some kind of satellite defense system that he wants to roll out? What do you think his fix is for being a loser on the wall, as he would characterize the situation?
Well, I think he'll focus more on blaming Democrats. That will be the crux of the speech, is blaming Democrats for being weak on border security. Mm-hmm. And not caring about the safety of Americans. That's how he's going to phrase it and spin it. So I think that's where he's going to have to go, because he's going to have to put the focus on something like that rather than the lack of the wall. I think he's just going to conveniently just not even mention the fact that he still doesn't have a wall and may potentially not have one.
Worse, what I fear is that he will cause some kind of new drama. And so then it'll give him an excuse to pay attention to some new thing. Hopefully it's not like bombing a new country or something like that, where all of our attention gets diverted away and he's like, oh, sorry, guys, I got to deal with this thing. You know, the wall is going to have to wait.
Right. I'm very focused on our new war with Vietnam that I have waged, because I think it's about time that they got some payback.
In that same vein, like, didn't we've found North Korea has they found like three more missile sites in North Korea, and it's like, so he clearly you know, claiming that they reached back when Kim Jong-un and he had their summit, and claims, you know, he also has clearly failed in denuclearizing or de-arming North Korea. But we're not talking about, I mean, the media is not talking about that at all. They're talking about his failure of the wall. But I'm just saying, guys, he's failed in a lot of areas. Can we just spread the wealth around and be fair to every aspect of diplomacy where your President Trump has failed?
But to on President Trump's the plus for him, obviously, Kim Jong-un has really enjoyed the handwritten notes that President Trump has sent to him. So that's what I have read about North Korea lately. Mm-hmm. So at least there's that. You know, that's probably why he's like, oh, he likes my notes. Ah, what's a couple of missile silos amongst friends? You know,
who doesn't like a handwritten letter?
It's been a long time since
I can't criticize him for that.
And just one final point on the State of the Union. Actually, before we talk about that, Storage Yard Resident did respond. He says that President Trump will find a way to get the wall built. National emergency is the way to go. That was what I think there were a lot, multiple advisors trying to convince him not to do. But it just depends, because if ultimately he feels like this is so important to not to the country, but to his legacy and his reelection, then he will, I think he'll ultimately try and invoke that. And
It'll go to the courts and it'll be interesting.
But then we can see whose fault it is. You know, we can blame Judge Judy. You know, we can blame Judge
Joe Brown. The Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, the judge from divorce court. You know, those are all the judges that he knows, and he's going to blame each and every one of them. In speaking about the State of the Union, the response will be delivered by Stacey Abrams, who was not declared the winner, I guess is the way to put that, in the Georgia race. What do you think, Chelsea, about the choice of her as someone to give the response?
Well, based on my Facebook feed, it is a very popular, exciting...
Is Drexel excited? Our friend Drexel Hurd? I actually haven't. Yes. Okay. I just had a hunch because I know he was a fan of hers.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. I don't know why I can't get that excited, although Chuck and Nancy looking at each
as
other.
As long as
it's
not
yet,
Chuck and Nancy both touched their nose and said, not it.
Yeah.
And so then they were tied, so they had to find someone else.
So, you know, if she is able to give, like, a real response that corrects, factual inaccuracies or really talks about things that are important rather than just as some canned response, then great. I hope that she does that, and I hope it turns out well.
Yeah, I hope that, again, we just made the joke, but I hope it's a better response than the last one that we saw. What do you think about that choice, Tamara?
Happy about it, because I do feel it was unfair after the midterms when so many Democrats were so excited about a potential Beto O'Rourke run for presidency, and everybody's still so enthusiastic about his future, but yet she lost by a narrower margin. He lost by a much larger margin than she did, but yet nobody...
To Count Chocula, by the way. He lost to Count Chocula. Let's point that out. Mm-hmm. Be very clear.
Thank you.
Sure.
But yet there just wasn't... or at least I didn't see as much, you know, grassroots excitement for where her career is going.
In all honesty, it was
when
the first time...
When you have Oprah in your corner, that is about as much...
That's true, but that was the
first...
Happy
birthday, Oprah.
Oh, look at that. Did you know it was Oprah's birthday?
I knew it was in January, but I don't know if
you just didn't know.
It was today.
Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Tamara,
I have fallen in the rankings of Oprah's
Tamara
biggest
just
fan.
Out-Oprah'd
you. Oh my God.
But it was the first time I'd heard her name in a while, so I was like, okay, this is good. This is a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, let's... see what she's able to do with it, and we'll be excitedly watching that a week from Tuesday. We will let you know if we'll be able to be on after that, or maybe we'll try and hype you up beforehand. So Lorraine Rotundo Steele in the chat says, Trump has stated the wall will be built. If not, he'll use executive order to do so. I'm mostly reading that comment because it is... You know, on the other side from what a lot of what has been said in this past half hour, but also because the name Rotundo Steele does sound like the name of someone that Roger Stone would pay to swing with he and his wife. So that's, of course, the most fascinating part of the Roger Stone story.
I didn't hear this. He's a swinger?
Oh, yeah.
How did I miss that?
To the extent that I'm not even going to go into the specifics, but there are well-documented, first of all, that he and his wife would frequent a swingers club in D.C., and as soon as you heard that, you're like, of course, there's going to be...
That's no judgment on the swinging lifestyle, by the way. That's a specific judgment on swinging with Roger Stone.
And of course, you know, in D.C., I feel like that's a place where there would be a lot of them. Ugh. So, yeah, I think actually that's
too
the
much skin.
I'm pretty sure that's the name of the club is. Ugh. But, you know, to beggars can't be choosers. Jimbo Fraben says, bunch of leftists, I'm out. But thanks for sticking around for a little while. Maybe you'll be back next week. Maybe you won't. But if you stuck around this long, good for you.
Thank you for the comment.
Yeah. You know, what are we going to say? You know?
The respectful comment. You could disagree, say, call us.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Exactly. So,
like the audience interaction.
So that is the part of the Roger Stone story that I latched on. But I guess the important part is the fact that you are getting his one-time friend and associate, Jerome Corsi, is basically told the Mueller investigation things like when the Access Hollywood tape came out during the campaign, Roger Stone immediately, allegedly, communicated to Julian Assange, yeah, we need those Hillary emails now. So, you know, that's the sort of, and again, that is an allegation, which, well, let's just hope Roger Stone was smart enough to not say that in an email, because there's no chance he would have done that, right? There's no way that there would be a record. When you're not seeing the headlines about he and his wife, you're seeing that he reportedly requested Assange begin releasing emails to counteract that. So I don't know the legality of it. It sounds bad. That has to be against the law, right, Chelsea?
To be the definitive word on if something is against the law, because on everything there's always, you could say yes, but, or no, except that
okay.
when, so.
But what about it, sound? What about it, if you had to make the case, like, okay, he communicated this with WikiLeaks, you know, foreign entity.
Hacking into servers is
right.
illegal.
But Roger Stone didn't do the hacking, right?
Foreign entities, countries
did
hacking
hack,
in
yeah.
is it's like using the fruit from a poisonous tree. So you to use to your benefit something that
All
emerged
right.
from illegal behavior makes now your behavior tainted. But what I think is most important about Roger Stone possibly going down is that it's an entire approach to how politics is played that would hopefully be going down with him. And I think you could probably only understand that if you were to see the documentary. Have you guys seen it?
No, but I plan to watch it.
I actually have not seen that.
I mean, he has been in politics since he was like 19 years old.
He's a big Nixon guy.
Right.
Yes.
He's got the tattoo of Nixon's face in the middle of his back.
But to be fair, who doesn't? Go ahead.
Right.
Mine's
Except
on my lower back.
Beat me
well.
To it. just like the Oprah thing. It shows that there is a really, I mean, if you didn't know already, ugly underbelly to politics, and he is one of those puppet masters, and he's big on the PACs. PACs, he and his lobbyist group that included Paul Manafort were instrumental in making PACs a big thing, these political action committees, as a way of raising money and helping candidates without directly
right,
donating to them.
Because there's limits on what you can directly donate.
Right.
So, and obviously, this is certainly one of those things that both sides have these PACs, because if you were to be like, well, we're not going to use any PACs, you probably
right.
lose by a lot.
But, and he also is a great demonstration of, like, he was somebody who would help get people elected
mm-hmm.
and then turn around and then become a lobbyist to pay people to access that person that he just helped get elected.
Now, that sounds like it would be against the law, but I guess it's all subjective.
It is currently totally legal.
Oh, good. Well, and then why aren't I a lobbyist?
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
So those are the kinds of things that when you understand how this actually plays out would upset you, not just about Roger Stone, because Roger Stone apparently could care less if you hate him. In fact, the end of the documentary, he says, I revel in your hatred because you only hate me because I'm effective. But yeah, because this is what happens when...
I think I know what he must be into in those swingers clubs.
Well, here's the question. Does the documentary talk about that part of his private life, or do they focus...
It mentions it, that it came up and that it sort of derailed him from being a bigger player in politics than he is. He kind of had to stay under the radar, I guess. Mm-hmm. And when you see his personality, he's not an under-the-radar kind of guy. And it's why Trump either fired him or why he quit.
I don't care if you hate me. I revel in your hatred. Choke me. I revel in your hatred.
But he loves the spotlight. He was doing probably too many TV interviews, and that's what Trump complained about him, that he was trying to take away too much of the spotlight.
I mean, the day before he was arrested, he did a radio interview with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts, who in some form or another have been a guest on this show in the past. Jim might have looked a little different. But it's, you know, it's not like he was on, I don't know, Morning Joe or Fox and Friends. You know, he's just doing basically a goofy morning radio show, you know? And he, I think, wouldn't say no to interviews. And I can
He's saying, you know, it is better to be infamous than to not be heard of at all.
I believe he said that in the interview, which I listened to.
And also, ironically, he was somebody else who was out on the campaign trail for Trump doing the whole lock her up thing,
which
came back to bite him.
When he was walking to court today.
The arraignment. They were chanting.
They were chanting, lock him up. And there were plenty of Russian flags on display.
But there were also, wasn't the crowd half and half of supporters for him and protesters against him?
Well, I only skim fake news, so I didn't actually read that there were supporters there. But of course it makes sense that there would be. what I think is probably the most egregious thing in his history, though, is that he used his credit card is linked to an ad that was paid for that said, quote, hot insatiable lady and her handsome bodybuilder husband, experienced swingers, seek similar couples or exceptional muscular, well-hung single men, which is what I alluded to in the beginning.
I'm glad he put experience.
So, because you know, you don't want to go alone. You don't want to swing for the first time with another couple. But handsome bodybuilder husband, come on, Roger Stone. You've seen him here. You saw Steve Martin's impression of you on Saturday Night Live, didn't you? Come on. When were you a bodybuilder? That's the real question. You know, that's what it really comes down to. This to me is an indication, and you know, obviously, this is something that Scott's always quick to talk about when he's here, is that we might be getting a little bit closer to the end of the road for this Mueller investigation if they're arresting someone, or not, what's the right term? Is it indicting? Yeah, indicting Roger Stone, because that's like, okay, that's pretty high up on the food chain. You know, maybe if you have an indictment to serve, I don't know, someone a little bit closer to the president, that's the kind of at the end of it. But do you get the feeling, Chelsea, that if somebody, you know, and again, he's more of a media figure than, you know, than a trusted advisor, I guess. But does that tell you that we're getting pretty close to the end of this thing?
Well, ironically, if you watch the documentary, Trump is in it saying that he's been friends with Roger for 40 years.
And was the documentary made after Trump was president, or was it while he was campaigning?
I believe after he won.
Okay, after he won. I just was because, you know, host of The Apprentice talking about how great you are, Dennis Rodman, is a lot different than the president saying
Donald,
how great you are, Dennis Rodman.
Says, you know, a lot of people say that Roger's a bad, tough, you know, dirty trickster guy, but I actually think he's a quality person.
I think that he's a much dirtier, tricksterier guy than you would ever know, but that's why I love him.
And it tells the whole history of how long, since the 80s, Roger Stone has been encouraging Trump to run, and how instrumental he was in putting together the message. So, I mean, I almost feel like Mueller, if you haven't seen that documentary, you really should. I think it'll help you out. But
I would assume that someone in the special prosecutor's office has seen the documentary. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody just passed him a post-it note about it or something.
And so on his to-do list, it said Bird Box, but then he actually drew an arrow over Bird Box, and he's like, I'm going to watch this first.
And then Marie Kondo right after.
Dumplin'.
And then the Ted Bundy documentary. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Fyre Fest. So, really, there's a lot. Oh, there's so many to watch. But this is one to get to. All right. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. Roger Stone says he's not guilty. So,
okay. I'm sorry.
He also said he's a bodybuilder, though, Tamara. So
I was mistaken.
Yeah. So obviously he's a good guy. And Carolyn also still in the chat. She can't wait for the trial.
He talked about how he, from a young age, discovered the power of disinformation. But then he says, but then I never used it again.
Yeah, no, of course. Why would you use it when you figure out how effective it is? You know, so, you know, that's... You know, it's like telling him that if you keep doing something, he would have gone blind. I'm sure he stopped at that point. He didn't keep doing it. In any case, Carolyn also hopes that Roger goes away for a long time. You know, I feel like he'd be really into going to prison.
Oh, jeez.
I just feel like he's... He probably watches a lot of Orange is the New Black.
You know what you can do in prison is you got a lot of time to keep working out.
That's true. Because he's a bodybuilder. Yeah. And just imagine, you don't even have to take out personal ads if you wanna swing. But anyway, let us know what you think in the chat for those watching live, if you're watching the archive.
Not about the swinger thing.
I mean,
if
you feel like I'm wrong and I'm and Roger Stone was really a bodybuilder and, you know, I'm just not giving him his due and that's the biggest problem with this story, then please let us know. You can also tweet us at Trump Report ABTV. All right. So let's talk about global warming, which we don't talk about often enough
on this
show.
Because we call it climate change for a reason.
Well, we're going to talk about it in the terms of global warming because President Trump tweets out, quote, what the hell is going on with global warming? Please come back fast. We need you. And Trump misspells tweets about the coldest ever recorded temperatures in the Midwest as he takes a swipe at climate change. And I guess what this comes down to, that people will make the point that it's such an obvious thing, and maybe I need to be reminded once in a while, that climate and weather are actually very different things. That yes, it is indeed very cold right now. But that's probably why they don't call it global warming anymore. It's like, well, it's climate change. That's how you get your polar vortexes.
But warming of the oceans has... So it's a kind of a slightly complicated thing. I think this should be used as some sort of, like, you fail elementary school if you... Well, okay, fine. Maybe middle school.
That seems like a middle school thing, let's be honest.
If you can't understand this. I mean, this kind of comment, the fact that he would say it just means he knows that there are some people who will read it and be like, yeah, that makes total sense. And those are the people that we should all cry for and say, wow, how our education system has really, truly failed.
Tamara, what do you say to the notion that President Trump has been able to, you know, combat global warming in a way President Obama never could, and he's created the lowest temperatures in the Midwest that we've ever seen historically? You have to give him credit for that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I do give him credit for the coldest winter the Midwest has seen.
Ever.
Ever.
With minus 55 degree wind chills.
Give credit where credit is due.
And by the way, speaking of giving credit where credit is due, I wish that I could take credit for saying that President Trump has lowered temperatures, but it was a real Twitter argument that I saw. And at first I'm like, okay, this guy is definitely pulling over somebody's leg. I'm like, no, I think that he's just like, well, look what Trump has done. He's created colder weather in the Midwest, and you have never done that, President Obama. So, you know, I mean, it's a question that comes up a lot sort of conversationally, you know, like, I've heard plenty of people. I worked on a daily radio show. People would be like, "Yeah, we sure could use more of that global warming."
And those people really should be required to go back to like middle school. Should like have to like time out of society, and
just
you have
to
go back.
Climate change means extreme conditions. So that means hotter summers, colder winters, bigger storms, extreme conditions.
I I can't take it seriously. If you were to say that to me right now with a straight face.
Yes.
I don't even know. I would just probably respectfully and just not look at you and just move away.
Happened on this show before. That wouldn't be the first time, so that's all right.
You know, I would like to be able to stay engaged in a civil discourse. I just don't know how to do that. And I don't want to say with dumb people, but with willfully ignorant. That's what my term is going to be, willfully ignorant.
And look, there's just the fact of the matter is that people probably don't understand the difference and they don't want to be, you know, on that side of the conversation. I think that, you know.
So then just keep your mouth quiet and then just ask questions of people and trying to learn. Read an article, read a documentary, go back to school.
Or, you know, just someone else tweet, you know, however, you know, so what, you get 280 characters on Twitter now, just respond, you know, quote President Trump's and be like, you know, well, here's the difference, but, you know, here's a link, read that, you know, and that's the level that it would probably work best on. But yes, so you're not taking people like that seriously. Someone who I don't know that we should take seriously. There's a lot of people running for president, but Howard Schultz, the former Starbucks CEO, has said that he might want to run, and he might run as an independent. So Democrats took that very seriously, and a number of Democratic organizations have said that they would begin boycotting Starbucks if he ran as an independent because of the damage that he would do. You know, he would take votes away from President Trump. But I don't know. I think that Howard Schultz has an inflated idea of how viable he is as a candidate. I mean, he's wildly unpopular in Washington State, where he's from, because of just moving the Seattle Supersonics, that alone. So he's not going to win Washington State in any kind of meaningful way. And you should probably, you know, win a few more, you know, as Chelsea Clinton's mom found out the hard way, you know, you should have probably won a couple more states. But when you hear something like this, it's less about him as a viable candidate, but somebody running as an independent, and then Democrats are like, oh my God, we're going to boycott the company that you no longer work for. But he does legitimately make some money off of the company. It's not like he sold everything. He's not an idiot. He's not Roger Stone. But do you think that Democrats should be so quick to say, like, don't you dare run as an independent?
I mean, I want to be the person who says, the more the merrier, be engaged, run, let's listen to everybody. And I would say, okay, come on in. But then after the primaries, like, you know, bow out, you know, add your contribution to the conversation of ideas and how you see things going. Although that I heard him on 60 Minutes didn't offer what I think was anything new, but he just doesn't believe that we have the money for universal health care or education. But I didn't hear what he was really for.
Fiscal responsibility. Businessman. He's a businessman, Trump supporters.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering is how many more businessmen are going to be like, well, I'm a better businessman than Trump. So it is like Mark Cuban and everyone on Shark Tank, like, are they all going to run for president?
Because
No, I don't think so either. But
I think anybody who has owned a business who has not been sued by their employees is a better businessman than Trump, which means
rules out a lot of businessmen, though. There's a business people, by the way.
Truth is the way that the system is right now, a third-party candidate, an independent, would, in all practicality, serve as a spoiler. So I understand that many people are highly discouraging of him or anybody else running as an independent. You know, it's possible. But here's what I came up in my mind that would make me just as happy as Bernie running would be if Bernie would get to moderate all the debates.
Because realistically, let's just say one, you know, like if he gets to moderate
the people who ask the questions are the ones who are giving us the issues that we're all talking about. And Bernie's questions, Bernie's topics that he would bring up, first of all, would be like, how do you plan on solving poverty? Right? It would not be questions about emails. And, you know, it would be like things that actually
I think it's a good point, and it's something that we'll certainly revisit next week and into the future. The idea that, you know, Bernie could be running as a
for moderator,
but if he were to run as an independent, I think that's exactly the case. That that's exactly somebody that people are afraid of. Imagine if he had run as an independent in 2016. You know, Chelsea might say he would have won. But anyway, we will have to put a pin in that for this week. Thanks so much to everybody who joined us in the chat, even those of you who only joined us briefly. We will see you next week. Follow us on Twitter at TrumpReportABTV. We'll let you know if you find us at our usual time or after the State of the Union. There's some scheduling quirks to work out. You can follow me on Twitter at ChristianDMZ. Chelsea, where do people find you?
At Chelsea Galicia.
And Tamara.
Hey, Tamara _ on Twitter.
There you go. And we will see you next week. Thanks so much, everyone.
Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.